Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of our heart be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer.
This morning's sermon comes from the archive of the Most Reverend John T. Calhoun, Jr. He gave it in June of 2001. And since I kind of stumbled over the collect, and the collect is a central part of the sermon, I'm going to reread the collect. The collect for Pentecost, commonly called Whit Sunday. O God, who is at this time didst teach the hearts of thy faithful people by sending to them the light of thy Holy Spirit, grant us by the same Spirit to have a right judgment in all things, and evermore to rejoice in his holy comfort through the merits of Jesus Christ our Savior. Amen. Just before he ascended into heaven, Jesus told his disciples not to go home to Galilee just yet. He wanted them to stay in Jerusalem until the Holy Ghost came down upon them. That event would fulfill the promise that God would send them power. The promise came true 10 days after the ascension, as the disciples got together to celebrate the Jewish feast of Pentecost. Note that the disciples still conceived of themselves as Jews. Pentecost was a spring festival that came 50 days, hence the name, after Passover. It was a tradition in Judaism that God gave Moses the law on Mount Sinai at Pentecost. So the main focus of the feast in the first century was giving thanks for the law. The Holy Ghost came down as a rushing mighty wind. Ghost and spirit both mean wind. And the tongues of fire which sat upon the heads of each of the disciples. That is why the bishop's mitre is shaped as it is. It represents the flame of fire on the heads of the apostles, to whom every bishop is a successor. The disciples began to praise God in languages they did not know. And in a startling reversal, St. Peter, singled out in the Gospels for his particular inability to understand anything that Jesus said, St. Peter preached a sermon which showed that he not only understood the events of the previous 50 days, but he also understood them in terms of the Old Testament. That sermon converted 3,000 people. Jesus had said that the Holy Ghost would make the apostles witnesses to him throughout the whole world. What he meant was that the Holy Ghost would be the motivating principle of the church. It is the Holy Ghost that has kept the church going for 2,000 years. We pass the Holy Ghost along from generation to generation through the sacraments of baptism, confirmation, and holy orders. I have told you before that I think the reason many of us don't have a very clear picture of the Holy Ghost is because he is so very hard to visualize. Father and Son immediately conjure up mental images, but ghosts and spirits do so rather less, unless you think of something like Casper, or even worse, Patrick Swayze, which really aren't much help. Jesus acknowledges this fact when he says that you can see what the Spirit does, but you can't see the Spirit. Today's collect says that two obvious effects of the Holy Ghost in our lives are, first, to give us a right judgment in all things, and second, to give us holy comfort in which we can rejoice. Let's try to figure out what all this means. The Spirit of God is the source of all knowledge. God knows everything because he made everything and he sees everything. Any knowledge we human beings get comes from plugging into him, whether we know it or not. The foundational place where the Holy Ghost imparts knowledge is the Bible. The second main source is the tradition of the unbroken church. These are not just sources of narrowly religious knowledge. They tell us who God is and who we are, and so give us the basis from which we can have a right judgment in all things, not just in strictly spiritual things, in all things. If you want to hear the Holy Ghost's voice as it applies to any concern you have, the most important thing to do is to read the Bible. The Bible is also a handbook on how to pray about what concerns you and about what kinds of answers you may expect to get. Jesus said not if you pray, but when you pray. The comfort to which the collect refers today is a comfort in its original sense. Comfort literally means strength. You can see fort in the word comfort. The Holy Ghost provides you, if you ask him for it, the intensified strength with which to meet all of the problems that arise in our faces every day. I read morning prayer and evening prayer every day like a good boy, and I get a lot of help from the Jesus prayer, But I'd have to admit, my most frequent prayers are, what next? And help me, Jesus. He has never failed me. Ultimately, the Holy Comfort is a relationship with God through Jesus. Do you have a relationship to Jesus? Do you know you can have one? All you have to do is ask Him to make you aware that He's already in your heart, and then start talking with Him in an honest way. If you don't have a sense of personal connection to Jesus, you're probably just going through the motions. Don't get me wrong, we have lovely motions in our church, to be sure, but they are just supposed to get you started through to the real thing, which is Jesus, the Lord Himself. Please don't leave here this morning without asking God to make you aware of His presence within you and without you by the Holy Ghost. Accept what you hear in the Bible and in sermons and in teachings, not simply as lessons, but as the Word of God spoken directly to you. And never forget St. Paul's command, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say, rejoice. And now unto God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost be ascribed as it most justly due. All might, power, majesty, dominion, and glory now and forever. Amen.